Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report live right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Lee Kelly is in studio with me as always on Thursdays, and lots to get to today. World Series Game 2 last night. I tell you what, it's been a fun series so far. I don't ever talk baseball, don't watch a lot of baseball. I did mention it yesterday on the show. When it comes to playoff baseball, the wild card one game play-ins, you could call them, those kind of get me hooked every year. And then, of course, as things progress, it gets better and better. But this Astros and Nationals series, it is interesting so far, and I have a feeling that it's going to continue to be that way.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. There are always heroes and storylines that come out of whatever it might be, from high school sectionals to college to the NCAA March Madness to the World Series or NBA or NFL, whatever it might be. This Nat story is one for the ages because we could have made a lot of money. I mean, if we would have gone on record at any time during the regular season and said, hey, we'll take the Nats to win it all, and they haven't yet, and they may not, but it's been such an unbelievable story of how they've done it. It's just been fun to follow. And yesterday, a catcher that's 36 years old hits a home run to give them the lead late in the game. He thought about retiring 2 years ago, decided to come back, and it's just those kind of things that keep me hooked watching. Even though they beat my Dodgers, they're a fun team to watch. They really don't have a giant superstar. Matter of fact, they let their giant he left. He's sitting in Philadelphia watching the game just like I am in New Albany, but he's making $300 million. But it's a fun time of the year, and the Nats are certainly a great storyline.
Yeah, no question. And as hot as they are, and to jump to a 2-0 lead at Houston, I still say with confidence, I think this will be a competitive series, maybe a 7-game series. So and that's my opinion. I can't see the Astros not winning a couple games here coming up real soon. But we'll see. Didn't see that one coming last night either. I thought for sure the Astros would bounce back, but have enjoyed it. And I kind of wish that I could get into baseball more throughout the regular season, but it's just hard to follow. It is a little bit slow. There are so many other sports options. And, of course, like everybody else, we're all busy in our own lives doing different things. But the World Series, it's in the playoffs. And, again, whoever came up with the idea of the wild card, the one-game play-in, that is just a fabulous idea. It's created some momentum for teams over the years, like the Nationals, obviously. So good stuff, and looking forward to Friday night. I know Friday, I'm hoping you'll join me Friday for our high school football coverage. I'm excited about it because it's sectional football that begins Friday night. We've got three local teams that have byes, the 5A teams, New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central. So it'll be a little slower this Friday night, but we've got some interesting games. Providence and Clarksville will be one of our feature games, our main game of the night, to be honest. And then we'll also have constant updates from the Brownstown-Charlestown game, and we'll keep a very watchful eye on Silver Creek and their challenge at East Central. And Lee Kelly, we can do all that right here from the comfort of the Big X studio with the Astros Nationals game 3 on Friday night. We'll have that on the tube here to follow as we work through high school football. So hope you'll join us for that Friday. The kickoff show starts at 6 o'clock. We'll have roving coverage around the area, spending a lot of attention on Providence and Clarksville and the other local games as well. And then when it's all said and done, probably some of the last couple Fridays have been so fun our Extremenasium scoreboard show. We've had lots of victorious coaches on, and the coaches are so great. When they win, they want to call in and talk with us. They want to brag on their players and their team. And so the last couple Fridays, we've had, you know, 5, 6, 7 winners in high school football locally. And so we've been able to talk with every coach that's won in Clark and Floyd counties. It's been a long, extended scoreboard show the last few weeks, but it's been fun. So we hope to have on sectional Friday some winners as well, because that means week two, when the 5A teams are in action, which that's going to be fun with New Albany, Jeff taking on each other, and then a rematch of Floyd Central and Bedford. We hope to have some of these winners from week one continue on to November 1st as well. So high school football in full swing as far as the playoffs go. Basketball getting closer, Lee Kelly. IU gets its first exhibition game, at least, that the public can watch on Tuesday of next week. We are in that sweet spot, that time that we always talk about. Makes it hard to fit everything into a one-hour show, to be quite frank with you, but it's a fun, fun time trying to do so.
Can't wait for basketball as usual. It is Indiana, and while I am a big baseball fan, high school basketball, college basketball, certainly fun for me to watch. And the great thing is, with television being what it is today and streaming services what they are today, you can watch a game probably 2 or 3 games a night, almost any night of the week, and catch games from teams like Gonzaga and other places. Even if you're a fan of IU, you kind of get it, you know, hey, this team's playing really well. Today, we live in a great time to follow teams all over the country.
Yeah, no question about it. Matt Dennis and Lee Kelly with you here on this Thursday edition of the show, the Hoosier Report, presented each day by CC Power Sports. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I will go through our Zaxby's headlines of the day coming up here in just a few moments. We're going to talk about Dawson Garcia, big weekend for IU as they host Dawson Garcia. A little note on Jordy Halls from some of his overseas play that I thought was interesting. We're going to talk high school volleyball for a brief moment coming up. We have 4 teams from our local area, all 4 teams from Clark County, that are going to advance on to regional play this weekend. And a lot of those teams, we think, have chances to maybe win the regional. So we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, kind of a neat story. Lee Kelly brought this to my attention. New Albany graduate, former baseball player for the Bulldogs, Sean Godfrey. He's involved in the Astros organization with one of their minor league clubs as a pitching coach, and he's had the chance to be at a couple World Series games so far. So we'll talk about that and a few other things as well coming up in our headlines segment. Lee, Dawson Garcia is going to be on campus. Big man, 5-star, and you get to this fall period with the high school season getting ready to begin, and you say, okay, where is my team, my program, my club, whoever you follow, where are they at in recruiting, and what do things look like? Because obviously you see players like Romeo Langford wait till the spring to make their college decision, but mostly players are making their decisions this time of year. Within the next month or so, kind of the late, a lot of the late decisions will be made. And you will have some of those, what I call elite level players. And I guess, really, in many ways, you could classify Dawson Garcia as a 5-star into that class of a player. But mostly the decisions, they want to get him out of the way at or before or near the start of their high school basketball senior year. So when you look at 2020 prospects, there have been a number of guys that have made their way to IU's campus. There have been a number of guys that clearly Indiana has went out to visit, went out to see in the fall evaluation period, going to open gyms, going to practices. And it's been interesting to watch because with Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway committing fairly early over the summertime, we'll say, that left a lot of evaluation time for the coaches to get out and see players from outside of the state in this 2020 class. So there have been a couple names come and go. I thought Hassan Diarra, as I watched that recruitment progress and him take a visit to Indiana, I thought, you know what, I think Indiana has a real chance here. And obviously it was a little surprised that, you know, the word wasn't Indiana when he was going to make his pick last Friday and eventually pick Texas A&M. I feel that way about Dawson Garcia. Here's some good things about him, both as a player and what he could be ready to do as a freshman in college basketball in the Big Ten, the size that he has, the strength that he has, will help him well in a physical conference that the Big Ten has a reputation of being. And I've heard good things about where his recruitment stands with Indiana. He's got some deep connections to Tom Ostrom, who is very much aware of things in Minnesota, the D1 Minnesota program. There have been some connections there with Race Thompson and others that are in the IU program. So that's a big deal to have him on campus and to have maybe some positives out there about the chances of Dawson Garcia to Indiana. We'll see how things play out. But if Indiana, if Archie Miller could land him a five-star player, a big man outside of Indiana to go along with getting essentially the best players in Indiana in the 2020 class, that's a really, really good – I don't want to call it a start. I don't want to call it a finish either, because I think there's a chance some which way you could see another player or two added to the class. But that's, I think, a really good class, both in talent and both in geographical reach, to say we're going to get the best we can in Indiana that we have in Indiana, and we're going to go outside of the state in the Midwest, or maybe even a little outside of the Midwest. We're going to get a five-star player there as well. This would be a huge get for Archie Miller in this 2020 class that, in my opinion, would take it to a whole nother level.
Do we know who else, just in case Garcia picks somebody else, do we know who else is on the board in that big man category that could step in when Deron Davis is finished at the end of this year?
I tell you, there probably are some names. I don't think any of the names come to the talent level of Dawson Garcia that are still on the board at this point. But it's crazy, and we've talked about you don't see any possibility for a commitment here or there, or late recruits coming into the picture. And, of course, nowadays with transfers, it completely alters your ability to really lock in a roster and keep track of, you know, where what the team needs and, you know, how the scholarships are filling and what's available. That's brought a whole nother element to the, I guess you could say, the recruiting game as well. But I don't know. That's a good question. As far as big man at this late point, and I guess it's not really late, but it's that time of year where you're going to see a lot of guys in his category make commitments. That would be interesting to see who they would go after. But with Diarra off the board, with some other players already making their decisions or moving on from Indiana, he's maybe, I don't want to call him the last big hope of this recruiting class, but he may be one of the final chances to get a player of his caliber. So Dawson Garcia on campus this week for an official visit. And like always, I think, you know, it's interesting when they're on campus because, you know, it's Indiana, and we know how Indiana fans are. We know how much it means to Indiana fans. He's going to be known and recognized by everybody in Bloomington that he runs across this weekend, no matter if it's at a gas station or at dinner or on campus or wherever it may be. But I've always thought that as important as official visits are, especially for seniors and especially at this time of year in the recruiting process, it's always fun on that next Monday or Tuesday to see what they have to say to the different IU media people that are going to interview them and talk with them and so forth. So that kind of tells you a lot. In many cases, you can kind of gauge some of the comments and see what he has to say about the weekend. And sometime you get lucky. Sometime after a big visit, an impressive visit, he's late in the process already, you get a commitment. And it's not just, oh, I like the campus, or it was amazing, or whatever the great comments you want to hear are. Sometimes these visits translate into a commitment. So we'll see what happens. But Dawson Garcia on campus coming up this weekend in Bloomington. Fun to keep up with former IU players. So love to have them on the show. Love to track their professional careers. And, of course, we probably forget some about some IU guys that end up going overseas and play. You just don't see as much about them when they're in some of these different leagues across Europe and otherwise. But how about this? I saw a tweet earlier today on Jordy Halls of Bloomington South. Jordy's been on this program before. And, of course, Lee, you and I had a great opportunity for a number of years to watch him in New Albany and, I guess, Jeffersonville, too, mm-hmm. battle in some really good matchups in postseason and regular season as well. Here's a stat that when you think about IU's free throw struggles as far as percentage the last few years, and even in the Marquette game, the closed exhibition, if you look at that box score and you try to break down the good and the bad, I think one of the bad would be IU's free throw shooting in that secret scrimmage against Marquette. And, of course, they lost by 3 points. And you think about regular season games and conference games that Indiana's lost by narrow margins, and free throws can obviously play a big part in that. But here's a stat that'll just make you scratch your head and wonder when IU gets the next Jordy Hulls. Hulls has made 93.9% of his free throws since he's been a professional player in Europe. Get this, he's hit 324 free throws out of 345 attempted. That is just absolutely amazing to think that he does that. That's in games. That's not like a free throw, you know, competition or the most he's made out of 345. Jordy Hall's 93.9% free throw shooter. That is just his career in Europe. That is just amazing.
And again, this is a young man that brought out my innate ability to judge talent, because I thought very nice high school player, really does a good job of running his ball club and making sure everybody's involved. And but I thought, you know, he's probably needs to find a real good seat on the bench at IU where he can see well, because he's not going to play much. And again, I was totally wrong. This young man has the talents, the ability, and the work ethic to turn it into playing time, now playing overseas, and I'm sure making good money. So don't trust me when it comes to judging talents, what I'm trying to tell you.
I totally can relate. Boston Celtics in action last night, their regular season opener, and did not go great for the Celtics. They lost to the 76ers 107-93. I mentioned that because Romeo Langford, as we know, did not play. The game was on ESPN. I heard a lot of comments and tweets and things throughout the day. Excited to watch Romeo tonight to see what type of minutes he gets. And it's, guys, he's not playing tonight because of a sore right knee is how he's still being listed on the Celtics injury report. So got to be closer. He told, I saw Tom Westerholm, our buddy from MassLive.com that comes on the show from time to time. He told him yesterday in a media opportunity that he felt a lot better yesterday, so maybe that means that he's getting back to normal and regular practice, which hopefully would mean in some of these early games, probably, you know, bits and pieces of minutes here and there to try to find his role. He may not get an opportunity unless the Celtics have a lopsided score or something where he's going to get a ton of minutes right away. We'll see how he works himself in once he comes back. But Gordon Hayward last night led the Celtics 25 points, even though it was a loss for the Boston team. And I tell you, that it makes it it's a lot easier for me to watch NBA basketball when obviously Romeo is involved. You know, I turned it on last night just to see if I could see him on the bench, and, you know, is he having fun? Is he enjoying it? But it's even easier for me to follow the Celtics because of Brad Stevens, the coach, who obviously is an Indiana guy, and also Gordon Hayward and players like that, and even Carson Edwards. I mean, you know, you probably, if you're an IU fan, you got tired of seeing that dude and some of the things he was able to do, especially as he took Purdue on in the NCAA tournament. But it's been neat to see what he's been able to do, at least so far, in preseason and in summer league as well. So a little easier to watch when you've got, I guess it's, you know, some known connections to the team. And I just want to see Romeo get out there and see if he can find a role with this team in his rookie year. So that like everybody, I'm a fanboy when it comes to that, and I'm on edge wanting him to get an opportunity. He's just had some little ding-ups, and, of course, the major thumb hand problem kept him out for – as expected. You knew that was going to be a long, long period there, but he's missed a lot of basketball, and – that's okay, but he's, I think, most importantly, missed a lot of opportunities. These summer league opportunities out in Vegas, I mean, you know, there aren't many guys that don't get to play in that. You know, if you're on the roster, you're going to get some minutes. They're going to find out. I mean, yeah, they want to win and that sort of thing, and they want to win the championship at the end of summer league, but they want to find out. It's an exploratory time. How does this guy do? How does this lineup do? How does this guy do against, you know, a top-level defender, at least a young player or a rookie that's a good defender? And then, of course, in the preseason, it's a little bit more normal. You have your stars that, especially with Boston that had so many maneuvers in the offseason, you have your stars that maybe don't play as much or are taking it a little bit easier, not wanting to get hurt or injured in a preseason game. But he missed out on most of that. He got 21 total minutes in preseason over two games. Just some bad luck with little ding-up injuries and things for Romeo. Let's hope he can get it all figured out, especially with him coming to Indianapolis here in about less than 2 months for a game.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of local fans that make that trip to Indianapolis just in conversations I've had. But watch part of that game last night, switching back and forth between the World Series, saw Carson Edwards come in. Had trouble getting open. The defense being played against him was pretty tough last night. I think he was 1 of 5 from the field, but certainly was working hard to get open. But again, keep in mind my ability to judge talent, but I think there are some minutes available there, whether Romeo can get those minutes or not. But I think there's some openings for players to come in, get some minutes, and that's a tough way to open the season against a Philadelphia team that is loaded. One of the teams mentioned over and over again as a possible NBA finalist, so that's a tough way to open the season. But it was interesting, and like you, I kept squinting, trying to find Romeo down at the end of the bench. Think I saw him, but I couldn't guarantee it, but I did the same thing.
I want to give a little recognition to high school volleyball, and obviously as we have local athletes and local teams work through the state tournament, in any sport, we try to give them a little bit more love, especially those that are making a run deep in the state tournament. But high school volleyball continues to just amaze me. It has a lot of interest in this area. It's produced so many good players that have went on to play college volleyball. I mean, you look at Purdue and Kentucky and many others have players that are right here, not just from our area, but from in Clark and Floyd counties. It's amazing. And this year is no different. The 4 sectional winners, all from Clark County this year. And I think the exciting thing is, and Lee, you're going to go through some of the winners and who they play and where they play, but I think the exciting thing is this weekend, those 4 local volleyball teams, of course, headlined by Providence, who is nationally ranked. They're playing in 4A, and they're a 2A school that's been bumped up and bumped up because of their points in the IHSA success factor formula. But they obviously have a great chance to win regional, and we hope go all the way to the state championship game. But I think all 4 teams legitimately have an opportunity to be very competitive at the regional round.
Yeah, I agree. And let's start out with 4A that you just mentioned. Providence is going to meet Castle in the morning round, and that game will be at or match will be at Bloomington North. In the 3A, we've got Silver Creek. Jeff Zimmerman, the coach there, that's done a great job running that Silver Creek program. They meet Lawrenceburg at the Corydon Regional. In 2A, we've got Henryville meeting Bar Reeve. They'll play at Forest Park. And in 1A, we've got Rock Creek and Springs Valley hooking up, and they will compete against each other at Ligoti. The winners of those morning games will meet in the championship of the regional that night.
Yeah, well, good luck to all of our local teams, and let's hope that we have multiple teams that go on to the semi-state round of volleyball, which comes up very soon after the regional. Also, you mentioned this to me. I thought it was great to mention we saw a selfie of a former baseball standout in the area. I think he was on the field or in the Astros dugout, one of the two. Sean Godfrey of New Albany, who was quite a high school baseball player, had a nice college career and has been working and some minor league opportunities as well, and then has been working in the Astros organization. I don't know if you can name it off the top of your head or not, but it's one of their lower-level affiliates, and I think he's a pitching coach. Is that
hitting coach.
Hitting coach, okay.
Hitting coach. Yeah, Sean Godfrey went through New Albany, went to Ball State, had a great career there, and signed with the Atlanta Braves organization. Made it up to Double A, and Sean then sustained some injuries, and things didn't work out, but managed to hook up this year. This is his first year as a hitting coach. He's in the Astros organization. We tried to hook up with him a couple of weeks ago for an interview on this show, but he was down in the Dominican Republic doing some work at their academy there, and we just couldn't work it out. But he did post a selfie. Apparently he's finished with that phase of the winter process and was at the Astros game as one of their coaches and took a selfie. And he's one of the real nice young men that I ever had the opportunity to have in class. And I certainly wish him nothing but the best, but he's really excited about that job as hitting coach and hoping to move up in that Astros organization.
Speaking of having players in class or having Sean in class, I know that you'll hate for me to bring this up, but I do want to say congratulations. Earlier this week, the New Albany Floyd County School Board approved that a classroom, a studio within the WNAS, which is the high school radio and television station where you taught me and you taught so many people, over the years will be named after the great Mr. Lee Kelly. So congratulations on that honor. I know you've been flooded with congratulatory notes from former students and others that realize the impact you had. But great to see you officially honored with that, and great to know that you'll always live on in WNAS glory, I think you can say.
And kids will be asking almost immediately, who is Lee Kelly? Because the kids there today, I go in periodically to help out in some way, shape, or form, and they have no idea who I am. So that they need to put a little description underneath, well, this guy used to be here or something like that. Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah, congratulations on that. That's the headlines for this Thursday, October 24th edition of the program. The headlines each day are brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Zaxby's does catering. They have party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entries, and sides as well. You can find out more at Zaxby's.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich, another Lee Kelly understudy at WNAS, the student radio and television station at New Albany High School. Alex and I talk IU basketball each Thursday on the program. We're going to talk about the Hoosiers getting ready for an exhibition game against Gannon University next Tuesday, coming up in just a few days. And, of course, the start of college basketball in general is just around the corner as well. We'll do that and more with Alex next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com joins Lee Kelly and I on Thursdays here on the show. We talk IU basketball and, of course, recruiting as well when Alex is with us. And, Alex, the season is almost here. The Hoosiers got a real test and a secret scrimmage that we could really only learn about through the box score and a few other news and notes that made its way out of Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Sunday. But now the IU team gearing up for it's a normal exhibition open to the public on Tuesday against Division II Gannon University. And I know everybody is excited to see this Indiana team get out and take the floor for this 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, it should be good to finally see these guys on the court. I'm most interested in seeing Jerome Hunter, obviously. I thought it was encouraging that he was able to play and play a decent amount of minutes against Marquette. And then also just kind of interested to see what the status of Devontae Green and Rob Fennessy is going to be come Tuesday, because neither of those guys played in the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage, and then they were again held out for the scrimmage against Marquette. And, you know, if they don't play Tuesday, then I think it's fair to start to wonder kind of what's going on with both of those situations. All of the information that we've been given from IU to this point has basically said that both guys are sitting out for precautionary reasons. But once the games start to get played here, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what impact either of those guys are able to have.
Yeah, I found it interesting, especially the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage. And I didn't make much of it, but the school put out a release, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes before the scrimmage started, that said both of those players would not participate. But then it went on in line two or in sentence two to basically say there are no, you know, I don't know if the word was serious, but there are no major injuries or serious injuries involved in that. It was more, I think, precautionary reasons is how it was listed. So I didn't think much of it. I thought maybe they've had a hard week of practice and a little dinged up with something or a little sore here or there, and so they're not going to take place in a little eight-minute exhibition amongst each other that really doesn't count for anything. But I was a little more surprised that they did not play against someone like Marquette. That's valuable minutes, valuable opportunities, especially for someone like Devontae and Rob, who you would think are going to have very key roles, especially Devontae from a scoring and an offensive perspective. That's a very opportunity you can't necessarily create in practice going against a team at the level of Marquette. Even Gannon coming to town on Tuesday won't be able to offer that same challenge.
Yeah, it's definitely curious. At this point, I think we have to take them at their word. But as I mentioned, you know, if they don't play Tuesday, then I think you have to start to wonder what their availability is going to be for the start of the regular season. And you definitely don't want to take any chances at this point, because we saw kind of last year how big of an impact injuries can make. And there's a lot of guys, I think, around the Big Ten right now who are battling various things. But to me, in a lot of ways, November is going to be pretty important for IU from the standpoint of not only winning games, but kind of developing some chemistry with a lot of these guys. There's going to be, knock on wood, a lot of opportunities, I feel like, to experiment with different lineups and guys getting used to playing with each other. And if for some reason, you know, one or two of the most two of the key guys on the team aren't able to play, then I think it could, you know, have adverse effect on this team and their long-term development. So, you know, that's besides Jerome Hunter, that's really what I'm most kind of curious about, not only this Tuesday but next Tuesday, what the status of Rob and Devontae is going to be.
Alex, have really enjoyed the player profiles that you have posted on Inside the Hall, and I think it's a great service, and fans that aren't familiar with that really need to get on board, because it's provided a lot of information. As you have done these profiles, has anything surprised you about any of the players as you've interviewed them and put these pieces together?
That's a tough question. You know, the thing that has kind of maybe stood out overall just about the whole roster is it doesn't, like, in years past, we've put these together, and there's probably been two or three guys where I looked at him and said, well, this guy, you know, we're writing about him. He's a scholarship guy, but he's probably not going to have a chance to play very much or have much of an impact. With all of these guys, it almost feels like, you know, there's 11 scholarship guys, and now they've had five walk-ons. So the roster's gotten bigger, but there's only 11 scholarship guys. To me, it feels like everyone has a chance to make some type of impact, whether that be you know, as someone like Demise Anderson having a chance to come off the bench and play a role as a guy that can make shots from the perimeter, a guy like Armon Franklin who had to step up in the scrimmage against Marquette just because some guys were out and they had some foul issues. So that's kind of the thing that stands out to me just top to bottom, is it doesn't feel like there's anybody on this roster that's not going to get an opportunity to make an impact in some way. Now, I do think kind of when you get into the meat of the schedule, you only play maybe your top eight or nine guys. But right now, besides maybe five, six, seven guys, you know, I have questions beyond that on who's actually going to play. So I know every year we kind of there's optimism. Everybody likes their team. You know, the off season went well. All the practices went well, and guys have a great attitude and are coming together. And that's, you know, you go around the league, everybody's saying that. But with this team, I actually feel like, from top to bottom, that everyone that's on scholarship has a chance to make some type of impact. Now it'll be up to each individual as the season kind of moves along here to kind of step up and claim their playing time. I don't think all 11 guys are going to play, but at least going into the season, there's no, you know, Tim Priller or guys that you look at on the roster and say, this guy's got no chance to play. I think they all have a chance to make an impact of some kind.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, talking IU basketball as we do every Thursday with Alex on the program. You mentioned the November portion of the IU schedule and how important it could be for this team. I'm counting, because once it gets going after the Gannon game, once November gets here, November 5th to be exact, Western Illinois comes to Indiana, to Bloomington for the regular season opener. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games between November 5th and November 30th. All seven of those games, on paper, Indiana should win. There, you think, would be a portion of those games, if not a good portion of those seven games, that Indiana could win handily, and it will give Coach Miller an opportunity to adjust lineups and starters and rotations and play newcomers that maybe aren't going to be in the main rotation of players. But really, for Indiana, as they move into December, which is a whole nother deal when it comes to the competitive level, the challenges, Florida State right out of the gate, December 3rd in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, a couple Big Ten games right after that, and some other, you know, very important games for this team if they want to become an NCAA team this season, building their resume. November really could be an opportunity for this team to find the best version of itself before they get into much tougher competition and big-time play in December.
Yeah, and if you remember back last year, we probably had similar conversations about November and some of the games, and then a lot of them ended up being closer than I think Indiana would have liked, and they had to end up playing guys more minutes, whether that be there were some injuries or obviously early last season, and then just some games ended up being closer than I think many people expected. And I think that's one of the keys with this schedule is, you know, I don't think Indiana's non-conference schedule top to bottom is great, but I think what could be beneficial to this team is if things do go as planned this month and they do have a chance to get some of these guys reps, I think that's important because, you know, you know what you have in, you know, several of the guys, but there's a lot of players on this roster you just don't really have a great feeling as to what they're going to be able to do, and to have a chance for the whole month to experiment and do some different things with various lineups and getting guys playing time. I mean, a guy like Demezie Anderson is a perfect example of this. You know, this is an important November is going to be an important month for him just to kind of get his role defined on the team and get in some rhythm. If he's going to make shots on the perimeter, I think you start to establish that against the lesser teams on the schedule. You don't just come in against a Florida State or a Notre Dame and after not having any experience kind of the first month of the season. So I think Indiana is going to probably take a hit in the computers a little bit for the weakness of the November schedule. But assuming they're able to go through it unscathed and win some games and build some confidence, I think ultimately it could end up being a good thing for this team to kind of have a lighter schedule, because there's once December hits, it's pretty unforgiving there for the bulk of 3.5-4 months.
Alex, do you feel better about the ability to shoot for Indiana in the coming season than you did a year ago, or is that still a big major concern that, especially the three-point line for IU for the coming season?
Still a big concern in my eyes. I mean, last year I thought they would be fine three-point shooting, but a lot of that was based on the fact that I thought Romeo would shoot pretty well from the perimeter, and that was just based on me watching him in high school. You know, he was a pretty good, I thought, three-point shooter at New Albany, and that never really materialized last year, and obviously, that was, I think, due in large part to his injury, and also had to take a lot of tough shots just because there wasn't really anybody else around. You know, this year, I mean, I look at Devontae Green and Al Durham as being decent but not great shooters. Beyond that, you know, I kind of look around the roster, and, you know, I think guys like Rob Fennessy, Demezie Anderson, Jerome Hunter have a chance to be good, maybe not great three-point shooters. I think the big thing for this team is they don't need to be, you know, a top 50 in the country three-point shooting team. They just need to be, like, top 200. I mean, to be in the 300s last year, close to the bottom 30, I think, in college basketball three-point percentage, that's just not going to work, I mean, against good teams. And so I think it's going to make a big impact if this team can just kind of get to middle of the road territory, which they weren't even close to last year. So I wouldn't say that I feel good about it, but I would say that if they can just be average, then I think their upside is pretty good as a team.
To change gears a little bit, we're talking about recruiting almost every week and throughout the year, but as a pessimist, Is Division One clean now? Can I assume that the shoe companies are out of it and everybody's on an even level as far as acquiring players to come to their different programs? And I don't believe any of that, but would love your input on where we stand. Can people feel assured that players aren't being bought anymore as we get ready for this 2019-20 season?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would not believe that. It's definitely interesting that all of us, everything that we went through with the whole FBI scandal, we were tired of hearing of it. But now here we are. What, 2 years, two full years later? It feels like it was September of 17. So what, 25 months later? I don't feel like anything's changed. I really don't. I mean, I hate to say that, but I feel like there was all these committees set up and all these different things were said and done, and you know, the same schools are still getting all the best players. Now, I don't know what means they're using to get those players, and I'm not accusing anyone of cheating, obviously, but it just doesn't feel like anything's changed. I don't know. You still hear things. You still hear certain kids, you know, well, you don't want to recruit that kid because so-and-so is asking for this or that. And I think there's, and we've talked about this before, fundamental flaws to the system. And until those are fixed, whether that be through name, image, and likeness, or letting guys have a little bit more piece of the pie in terms of what's coming into these schools, I think you're still going to have these underground deals or whatever, however you want to phrase it, going on, whether that be through, you know, guys getting extra benefits to their families or AAU coaches or high school coaches, whatever it may be. I just don't think that what took place in terms of the FBI scandal has really deterred anybody. I mean, look at college coaches, right? Rick Pitino was the only one that lost his job, and I think we can agree that the only reason he lost his job is because he had previous scandals under his name, the Karen Cypher stuff and the Katina Powell. If that was the first thing that Rick Pitino had ever been involved in, he would have never probably lost his job, because you look around at other coaches, Will Wade, he's still standing at LSU. Obviously, Sean Miller's still going strong at Arizona. He was mentioned in it. Bill Self still going strong at Kansas. And we saw some assistant coaches take the fall and maybe serve light prison sentences, but no head coach was touched by this in a significant way other than Rick Pitino. So what is deterring any of these schools from continuing the behavior that they exhibited prior to all this going down? I mean, the FBI talked a big game, but they didn't really do anything in terms of, you know, nailing any head coaches. And the NCAA, I think, is going to come try to swing a big stick in terms of some penalties. But until we see what those penalties are and see how the appeals process goes and how much schools fight back against whatever penalties are handed out, I just don't think nothing has happened to this point to me that's going to deter the same behavior that previously won. I respect your guys' opinion too on this, but I mean, do you think that's off base, or would you agree with most of what I said?
I agree with everything you said. The only thing I've gotten out of this really is, don't be like Pitino and admit anything. I mean, deny everything up and down the board, like many of the top name coaches have done, until they can prove otherwise. And I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree totally as well.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing, I think, for a lot of fans of schools that, you know, you feel like do things the right way. You're probably thinking, you know, nothing's changed, and I kind of, you know, agree with that wholeheartedly, because until we see a head coach, you know, fired or, you know, at a prominent place, taken out of their job, I just don't think. I think most of this is just kind of semantics and trying to put out these committees and do all this other stuff is just kind of for the PR stuff. It's in terms of what it's actually done for the game or the whole system, I think it's done nothing. Now, the name, image, and likeness stuff, I think as that continues to kind of be pushed and looked at from a more of a national level, I think that has a chance to maybe impact some things. But the FBI stuff, I just think it didn't really bear any fruit.
We're talking with Alex Vozich of Inside the Hall. Let's take the recruiting stuff back to the IU angle for a second. Dawson Garcia, we've talked a lot about this here on the show today and a lot yesterday. He's gearing up for an official visit to Indiana this weekend. He really, unless I'm missing something, he's one of the last big nationally ranked players that Indiana has a good in with, and that Tom Ostrom, IU assistant coach, and Archie Miller have been recruiting him now for basically 2 years. And he appears to like Indiana. He appears to have a good connection with Indiana. And the official visit this weekend is obviously the next step in the progression of perhaps getting a commitment from Dawson Garcia. I'm curious your thoughts on this recruiting. It's one that's we followed for a while. He's one of the more consistent names out of state that we've talked about really since Archie Miller has been at Indiana. I'm curious where you see Indiana right now as the official visit starts later this week, and could maybe next week be a commitment for the Hoosiers from Dawson Garcia in your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's my understanding that this is the first time he's ever visited IU, so we'll have to see how that goes and how he likes it. It seems like Indiana's in a pretty good position. If you look at the 24/7 crystal ball, though, the only thing that really has been only other school that has a – well, Indiana doesn't have any picks there, and I like to watch that for the guys like Evan Daniels and Brian Snow, who I feel like have a pretty good feel on these things. They haven't made any picks, but the one school that you hear a lot also is Marquette, and I know he's already visited there. That's obviously closer to home, so we'll see what impact that plays. I mean, I think Indiana just has to try to sell him on the fact that next year they should have a pretty solid nucleus returning of players, and he could kind of be that missing piece to maybe make them a top 25, top 20 team heading into next season. But every visit, I feel like every kid kind of says the same thing after an official visit. They had a good time. They saw this. They talked to the academic advisor. They saw the gym and they liked it. And ultimately, it's going to come down to where he feels most comfortable. I know Marquette's done a really good job recruiting him for a long time, and they have a pretty good end too. So it'll be interesting, obviously, to see where he ends up. I don't think he's, I think he's important for Indiana, I don't think he's a can't miss, because next year they're still going to have Trace Jackson Davis and Joey Brunk on the roster. Now, would the roster be more talented and more deep with Dawson Garcia? Yes. But I don't know that he comes in next year and is a better player than Trace Jackson Davis from day one, or is going to make more of an impact than what a Joey Brunk would make next season as a senior. But I definitely think he's a guy that, they've put a lot of work in on and they want to get him. We'll see how it goes. It sounds like it's an IU Marquette battle. Will be also be interesting to see if he opts to take any more visits after the IU visit. That might be telling as well. So just one of those things where you have to kind of wait and see how things develop. But I'm always hesitant. A kid's never even been on the campus yet. So we have to have that step out of the way first, and then we'll see. Jordan Geronimo, it was a case where he had never visited Indiana before. He came, he loved it, he fell in love and committed right after. There's been other examples of guys where that didn't happen. So each case is different, and we'll just see how it turns out.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. You can read more IU coverage on his website, insidethehall.com. You can also follow Alex at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Alex, as always, thanks for your time. Great chat on IU basketball. The season is almost here, thankfully, and we'll talk with you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with a couple other notes to wrap the show up on this Thursday program. We'll be back with you after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back with you as we wrap up this Friday show. Lee Kelly is with me. And Lee, I am excited on Friday to tell everybody that the Hoosier Report will be live at Jeffersonville High School. And our show tomorrow will originate from William S. Johnson Arena. And that's because one of the best girls basketball players in the area, Nan Garcia, she's going to announce her college decision right when we come on the air tomorrow. I'll interview Nan. We'll talk about her finalists. We'll talk about the recruiting process. She's going to make her decision live on the air. And then we'll talk about whatever school she chooses tomorrow, which is going to be a lot of fun to hear from her. And, of course, she's doing that just before the start of games, which are about 2 weeks away now for girls' high school teams in the state of Indiana. She's going to choose between Dayton, Miami, Florida, Missouri, Penn State, and Purdue. Those are her five finalists that she's going to choose from tomorrow. So we've been wanting to get out, and especially for some of the D1 basketball players, and we've got a good wave of players coming through the area right now, but we've been wanting to get out and find a way to do some of these announcements live on the show or on the air here on the Big X. And so tomorrow we're very excited to join Nan for her decision.
Absolutely. What a player. What a nice person. And that makes it even better when you get to be involved in that.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly, thanks for being with me today. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the show. Don't forget tomorrow, 11 o'clock, we're live from Jeffersonville High School. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.